The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
Let's get ready to soccer!
He's got to get it under control. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you're coming back from injury and you're switching positions and, you know, maybe you're not where you want to be right now. He's getting his first live action since the surgery.
Yeah, I think any time a player's injured, you know, I mean, they get something that they love taken away from them. And, you know, it's been a minute. It's probably, there's some pain and suffering that goes along with it. I'm sure those are things. But we have a lot of resources here. Kyle Mose, he's loved here. He has teammates by everybody in the building, so. You know, he'll get through it, and we talked about that, and I think he feels confident about
it. Cheers, Bears fans! This is Bears Ballroom Radio. I am Aldo Gandia, and that was Howie Long on The Rich Eisen Show talking about why his son, Kyle Long, was thrown out of practice on Monday. And, of course, that was followed by Bears head coach John Fox responding to Howie's comments when he addressed the media on Wednesday. Long did not practice Wednesday because he had a doctor's appointment to check on his injured ankle, which is clearly not 100%. It is Wednesday night, August 16th, as we record, and we are going to talk about the injuries infecting the team, answer your questions that you sent via Twitter at Bears Barroom, and of course, engage in some R-rated ball-busting humor. Speaking of ball busting, let me welcome our two barflies, starting with Shane Marsaw, who is going to have a hard time busting a nut over the next several days as his lovely wife is an ocean away visiting family. And draft Dr. Phil Latoshin is with us, who with four kids probably last busted a nut several years ago, perhaps. Cinnamon, how are you?
What's going on, Aldo?
Hey, Aldo. Ready for some football, brother?
I'm hip, man. I can't wait. Listen, guys, I got to tell you, I'm just worried about Shane here. And, you know, what's he going to do? How long is your wife going to be away, Shane?
Until September 3rd.
Oh, my God.
I am on vacation.
What? When the cat's away?
Yeah, that's right. Lauren Cox is moving into my house while she's gone. Good. Got a full supply of Nutella and coloring books, and it's going to be a party over here at the Marsaw's.
Well, I'm going to invite all of our female listeners to give us a call and tell us if you want to meet with Shane, talk with Shane, because, you know, he's going to be a lonely guy, and we don't want him to be deprived of life's necessities.
That's
so,
right.
give us a call here.
The mailman will lick your stamp.
Oh, wait a minute. We got a call already.
Oh, hold on. She heard me.
Let's see what this is.
It's from a plane.
Hey, babe. I'm Nikki. I know you wanna fuck my pussy.
I'm not sure this is your time, Shane.
Oh my God.
Hey,
it's so
I'll
wet.
Take anything I can get.
You're just going to die. Your fucking dick.
God bless America.
Your big giant cock. I can think of a million ways to fuck you right now. But
it's a good thing. It's a good thing Lauren Cox isn't on the show tonight. He'd be passed out already.
Your tongue inside my pussy. What the shit?
Is that Mrs. McCaskey?
Well, we got one contestant. Maybe we'll get some more. Give us a call here at the bar room. All right, fellas, let's talk about this injury situation. Clearly, the headline is Kyle Long. How concerning is this to you, his situation? He's clearly frustrated. Shane, you heard him on the Rich Eisen show, so you can talk a little bit about you heard Howie Long on the Rich Eisen show talking about Kyle and his temper. And so you can talk a little bit about what you learned from that interview and then share with us how concerned you are about Kyle's injury and his chances of being ready game one.
You know, it does kind of open up your eyes just a little bit when you hear, you know, your own father going on a nationally syndicated radio show and really saying that you got to get your temper under control. I think that kind of speaks volumes, but at the same time, I mean, you want to see him take that attitude to the field. But I can kind of see it from Kyle's perspective. I think he's frustrated with the injuries. He's probably still dealing with a little bit of the shoulder issue. But I think that there's probably a little bit of animosity towards the Chicago Bears themselves just because of the constant flip-flopping with him. You know, they look at him and they gave him the four-year extension as, you know, to be like the cornerstone piece of the offensive line moving forward, but yet they take it upon themselves to you know, start him out at right guard, but call him a left, you know, a future left tackle, and then they move him to right tackle the day the season starts, and now we see him being pushed over to left guard this year. And I think it's just everything is starting to come to a head right now, and with him not being 100% healthy, being able to be out there every day, I mean, you do like to see that the competitive juices flowing, but with the way that the injuries go on the Chicago Bears, you just don't want him kicking the shit out of guys with the C's on their helmets.
Phil, what are your concerns regarding Kyle Long? And you and I have I've recently jumped over to your side and said we should move him to left tackle, but perhaps this is not the greatest idea, and maybe even moving him to left guard is not the best idea, given the stress he apparently is under. So what are your thoughts, Phil?
I'm trying to understand what it could have possibly taken as a football coach to throw Kyle Long off the field. So that's the concerning part to me, because as a coach myself and being in the huddle with offensive linemen, I mean, the stereotype of offensive linemen is that they're fat and dumb. But the complete opposite is true, is that they're probably more of the intellectual people out there and a bunch of bulldog-type characters. So the expectation in the huddle was your offensive linemen were going to go past the whistle, and they were tough son of a bitches out there and had that edge to them, and you wanted that. And you look at Kyle Long and Sitton and then Cody White here and all the talk about the interior and Leno in a paying year and Bobby Massey's improving. And then this kid is coming off an injury, then getting thrown off the football field. Offensive linemen play with an edge. It's universally known. So I think it was way beyond the merits of anything we can even rationalize here. And just thinking about the position, what transpired and why he's so frustrated is beyond me. Is he frustrated with the injuries because he's nicked up and he's not starting? Is he frustrated with a move? And in that case, I don't know if you, Aldo or Shane, if you guys ever get to watch the Netflix original documentary on Last Chance U.
No, I haven't.
If you ever get the opportunity, it really takes you into the merits of coaching on every level. And the language you see on Hard Knocks and the expectation, really, of a young man at that position really comes out in the show as well, you know, as we all know. I'm just saying, thinking about this team and Kyle Long coming off an injury, getting thrown off, mind you, he's been named a captain. So it is concerning to me that where is his mind right now? Because if it is in the football field and making a transition in position, there's two concerns going on. His relationship with his new coach and what's transpiring there, as well as his relationship, as Shane said, with the Chicago Bears. Is he frustrated with the switching of positions or not being out there? There's so many questions about one person's mentality. He needs to just grow the fuck up and play the position and shut his mouth on Twitter and it all, shut it all down and really focus on your craft now, because the games are over. You know, It's you gonna get hurt if you're going half speed or your mind's not into it, then you're done. And it could wave your whole career, a tidal wave, to the opposite side of where you've been rising as far as a football player in the NFL. So,
well, you know,
this is not something we should just overlook, Aldo.
Howie, his father did allude to the fact that he thought it was going to be an easier process and that he was going to be back a lot quicker. But when you're dealing with, you know, a 300 plus pound human being that's, you know, 6'6", it's, you know, and it's one of your wheels that you're dealing with, putting a lot of pressure on it. And I think like you said, Phil, it's a culmination of everything, the position switch, that's still dealing with the ankle. I'm sure he's still dealing with pressure from his shoulder injury. And he's the ultimate competitor. He wants to be out there, and he's practicing, you know, on a limited basis off and on. He sees his buddies going out there and putting their blood, sweat, and tears on the line, and he can't be a part of that. But at the same time, I think you put it perfectly there too, Phil. I think there is a maturity aspect of it with Kyle Long, because we've all seen the way that he reacts to things on Twitter. Little things like that do bother him, and he gets, you know, extremely upset, and he takes all of that to heart. And I think maybe you're right. Maybe he should just shut all of that outside influence off, concentrate on his rehab, and you know, just focus solely on football. But you're talking about him getting thrown out of practices or out of the practice. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It sounded like there was multiple skirmishes that he caused. It wasn't just one. And it sounds like maybe they threw him a warning and told him to knock it down, and he just kept on, you know, going at it. And then Fox just said enough is enough. And really, it's a credit to John Fox. I got to throw him a bone here, because it doesn't matter if it's Kyle Long or if it's the 90th man on your roster. If you're going to be out there taking cheap shots at your teammates, there is no place for that on the practice field of all places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is a captain, and I think that's important to what you were saying, Shane, that he right now, obviously, Mitchell Trubisky's rise, but you saw Jordan Howard perform at maybe the top running back level. It still feels as though Kyle Long was the face of the franchise, or is the face of the franchise for the national media.
For John, and that's a problem.
It is. That's a whole nother segment of this show.
Yeah, really.
That's how sad it is. But let's be honest, he's a household name, and he gets promoted as such in the national media as well. I just think it is a testament to the coach that I'm very hard on, not being consistent with the Josh Bellamy's and so on and so forth last season, and Tracy Porter, and then being a certain way with other players that, you know, make one mistake, they're gone, and you never see them again in a game. So for him to have a practice situation and set the tone of this team and this season, I think it's a good thing as well. I think that's how you take a, just like in the playground, you told your son, you know, if the bully keeps picking on you, or you go up to the biggest bully and you knock him on his ass,
and then
all will stop. It's the same thing in football. The coach is throwing Kyle out of the game, out of practice. Holy shit. I better know my assignments, and I better be out here doing what I need to do and not fucking around like that. And that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's why I said, yeah, you gotta. It's a credit to John Fox, because he's not playing favorites. And like you said, he's going to hold him accountable for his actions, and he really should. I mean, he's
Hope he holds Mike Glennon accountable for his actions.
Who's Mike Glennon?
Who is Mike Glennon, Aldo?
Well, we are going to find out, hopefully, Saturday night when he goes out and throws three touchdown passes against that tough Arizona Cardinals defense, but right now I am probably hallucinating a little bit by speculating that. I want to get to a couple of these other injuries, and Prince Amukamara has a hamstring injury. And in typical John Fox fashion, you know, he says he's day to day, which could mean that we won't see him again for the rest of the season. What concerns do we have there regarding Prince Amukamara, starting with you, Phil, given that this kid has had a really impressive camp, not only with his performance, but with his leadership? How badly will it hurt if he's nursing a hamstring the first half of the season?
Well, it's not going to be good. It's really not going to be good at all, because that's your number one corner, it seems like. But yeah. Apparently there's Dancegate. Apparently on Snapchat he's dancing with Josh Bellamy in his earrings. I don't know. So
he was good enough. At the end of practice today, Amukamara was out on the field when the defense made a play. He was jumping up and celebrating with his teammates, and that was on the practice field where the, you know, and reporters got reports of it and stuff like that. So I would tend to think that if it was too serious of a hamstring injury, he wouldn't be out there at all. So maybe it's just, like Phil said, this is our number one corner. We're not going to risk anything. We want to keep this guy good for week one. We kind of know what he is and what he can do. So we're not going to take any risk whatsoever, because we all know with a hamstring, even though they say it's minor, it's something that can linger. But right. I'm not going to look into it too much, because like I said, he was out there on the field today yucking it up with his teammates on defense when they made a play. And if it was anything too serious, I don't even think he'd be out there.
All right, let's talk about Marcus Wheaton. This kid signed a 2-year deal that guaranteed him $6 million, and he was not practicing at all. He comes back on the practice field and immediately breaks his pinky.
No! God, please, no! No!
I don't know how long that's going to keep him out, but boy, talk about a hard luck situation, hard luck start for Mr. Wheaton. And this kid could be a vital part of the offense given his ability to stretch defenses. I think he averaged 17 yards per catch last season with the Steelers, although he didn't play much, but it's a testament to how fast he is and what he can do with the football. What have you heard, Shane, about Marcus Wheaton, and what concerns do you have?
You are concerned about, you know, constantly being nicked up and coming to a new team, learning a new offense. And with, you know, obviously an unsettled quarterback situation, he's not, you know, building any rapport with Mike Glennon or Sanchez or Trubisky at this point, obviously, with him being out. But, you know, with him breaking the finger, to me, I was glad to see he got the surgery to, you know, get it taken care of. We still have 3 preseason games left. I mean, obviously, he's going to miss the remainder of the preseason games. Hopefully we can get him out there, you know, ready to go week one. And I really think that should be the focus. I'm glad that they didn't just tell him to get it, you know, get rest and try to fix it that way. And then, you know, he goes out week one and catches the ball the wrong way and he breaks his finger again. It's, you know, typical Chicago Bears. But I was glad to see him get out there and at least get the surgery and get it done. But it is concerning, because I mean, Ryan Pace himself pointed out Marcus Wheaton with his number one asset, and that is his speed on the outside. And any Bears fan that has watched any Chicago Bears games over the past, you know, handful of years, the speed on the outside and overall team speed has been severely lacking. So you do like that asset that Wheaton brings to the club. But it's just one of those things, guys. Unfortunately, he's not going to be out there. And really, at this point, the focus should be getting him ready for Atlanta, as bad as that sounds.
Phil, what are your thoughts?
I'm not happy about this situation at all, because there's so many unknowns. I'm a little indifferent than Shane with this football player. I loved him coming out of Oregon State. Talked about it before on the show. but I just think he's a Bernard Berrien type for Bears fans thing. He's running 9 routes, deep in cuts. He's not consistent. He's only consistent at being injured. And when you have that, then you have the same story that seems to transpire at this wide receiver position with the Alshon Jeffries and the Marquise Wilsons. We're seeing it over and over, and we can go down the history of it, but I think you get the general idea that you can't help your team by being injured. And at that position, there's a plethora of players. I mean, obviously you lost Reuben Randall, who showed some glimpses and a working relationship, it seemed to be, with Trubisky going in the last game. He's done for the year. Wheaton, again, injured. And really, you didn't see much of a guy that's injured and hasn't been. I thought that was a total coaching error that we didn't really get to talk too much, is keeping Kevin White out of the whole game. He should have been running deep into the fourth quarter, Kevin White, and not just Victor Cruz. It should have been Kevin, because just like Mike Glennon, Marcus Wheaton, and Kevin White, Aldo, we don't know what these guys are. They've just been given these positions, like as if Mike Glennon's Tom Brady. And Wheaton is the second coming of Julian Edelman. We don't have that here. We have question marks, and competition should be portrayed outwardly to the fan base, to the team, to the ownership, that you are going to get the best out of a player that's being paid to play a game, mind you. That's their job. You're going to get the best out of them by putting their asses on the line. So now a kid like Tanner Gentry should know his importance and his ability to press and practice means something, that at the end of the day, we're not going to pull the old Dowell Loggins like we did last year, because any fan out there that's trying to, well, he didn't know what he had. And I've seen that run in the beat reporter's room, and they're portraying that shit in the newspaper, that Dowell just, he didn't know because he didn't have pads on. If you don't know talent at the wide receiver position and the running back position, then you shouldn't be an offensive coordinator. That's part of your job, is to assess who's going to give us the best chance to win. And I know I'm going off of Marcus Wheaton, but I think it's very important that Wheaton doesn't just come back now, Aldo. Oh, insert him. He's our number one. He's got no connection with game time timing with these quarterbacks. We don't know what he is. He's injured. That's it. That's all we know about him. And I was hard on Tracy Porter that year, and then Tracy Porter came back and earned himself a contract, and then we saw what happened to him. And I'm using him as an example because we didn't see him at all. Remember, Shane, in the preseason? He was injured, yeah. And we were like, there's no way this guy's making the 53. He hasn't. Then he made the 53, and he made an impression that earned him another deal. So I'm not saying it's out of the realm that Wheaton could come in and surprise. But if we're just giving jobs to salary and to draft positioning or whatever it is, and not performance, then you're looking at hiring a new coaching staff next year. There's no doubt in my mind. You're going to win 3 games, because that's not how you win in this league. Just look at Seattle. Seattle's the ground-up rebuilding project. Look what they got over there. Because they're not afraid to recognize an undrafted free agent. It's better than my third-round pick. Sorry, third-round pick. I don't give a shit if I have egg on my face. I'm going to win games. Is anyone talking about the general manager missing on... Is Schneider missed on a third-round pick? Or are they all praising him finding Baldwin and so on and so forth down the line with these picks they have out there? That's the difference that I see, and I'm getting agita with this coaching staff already. It hasn't even started. And we're talking about Mike Lennon.
Did he just make up a whole new word?
Oh, that's an Italian word.
Hold on a second.
Maron.
We got another phone call here. Let's see who's on the line here.
And now you wanna fuck my pussy.
She's back.
She's back.
This is so juicy, though.
This is one of our followers.
It's so wet.
Sounds inherently.
She asked me not to reveal her name.
Your big giant cock. I can think of a million ways to fuck you right now.
Is this Tan Mom? Is this Tan Mom on the line?
That's Crazy Alice. Who this?
Who this?
Damn.
Sorry, holy. John Fox is on the line.
I've been fighting a cold. I knew that was going to happen. I was going to laugh and it was all going to come out. All right. Anybody else on this injured list that we need to talk about? We've got Danny Trevathan, McPhee. Who else is out there digged up? I don't think there's any new news on any of these guys, so how about we move on to our next topic?
Langford is back.
Oh, that's a good topic because the guy had a press conference today, and I didn't choose a clip because the guy really had nothing to say. In fact, I think
Did he have a press conference for real?
Yeah, you know, they trot out two or three players after practice, and today it was like three or four players, and he had absolutely nothing to say except when he was asked if he was 100%, he paused and he said, "I'm ready." And then the next question said, "Well, what do you have to do in order to feel comfortable out there?" He goes, "I got to get to 100%. So basically, what he is saying is he's gonna have a fucked up season. I mean, this guy didn't look like he had any confidence. We've seen how he plays. He's shy of contact. I'm a little bit worried about the running game, only because I think Langford. I think there's a line through his name. This guy is not going to make the team. I might rather go with the injury-prone Kadeem Carey because you know he's going to get out there as quickly as possible and play hard. And then Cunningham showed us something in that first preseason game. And, of course, we got our boy Cohen, who looked like a fucking dynamo out there. So I'm a little bit concerned about running back depth. What do you guys think about what's going on with Langford and the running game, beginning with you, Shane?
Well, I'm not surprised his confidence is down because, as it stands right now, he's the fourth or fifth running back. If I'm filling out a depth chart, it's you know, he had all those splash plays early on and everybody fell in love with him, but I've never in all of my years watching Chicago Bears football, even with the explosive plays, I've never seen a running back really go down in a heap without contact or just very little contact. The guy's got zero power to his game, and he's got almost no instincts to run the football. And you know, it is disappointing with that fourth round investment, but at this time, I mean, it's Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, and clearly your third guy right now is Phil's guy Kadeem Carey, who has proven valuable on special teams, along with showing the ability that he can catch some passes and also run the football. But that comes with the, you know, the little warning that he, you know, we're talking about people that are always nicked up. That's really been the story of Kadeem's career so far. But he just brings a lot more to the table than Jeremy Langford does. I guess really his best chance to make the team is if he goes out there and tweaks his ankle again and they stash him on IR for the year and kind of try to do a reset next year and see what happens. But as far as I'm concerned moving forward, I have I don't think he has any chance of making the 53 moving forward, and I quite frankly don't think he deserves to.
You called it, you said?
Yeah, back in April on Bears Barroom Radio, Aldo. I said, I just don't see. He's my surprise guy that was going to get cut. I didn't see it. I watched all the tape and everything he did.
Oh, that's right, you did.
Because his offensive line did an outstanding job opening a hole, whereas you saw Jordan Howard just instinctively choose and redirect and run through tackles. It wasn't even close, but mind you, this is a team that concerns me going into Arizona and moving towards the start of the regular season because of that Jeremy Langford was trotted out as your starter last year. And what concerns me is me finding out just minutes ago here on Bears Barroom Radio that Jeremy Langford was offered a press conference, for God's sake, coming off an ankle injury, that he's done absolutely nothing. And you have Jordan Howard as the second leading rusher in the NFL, and we're having a press conference for Jeremy Langford. I mean, seriously, get out there and do something, and then we'll talk to Jeremy Langford. No wonder why he didn't have much to say, because he's future, and his confidence has to be in doubt. And this is where you measure the player and the man. And unfortunately, I'm with Shane 100%. To me, it's very clear that Kadeem Carey is your number two running back, number three running back, number two in there in the regular offense. I think he's going to go before Terry Cohen. I think they're going to ease Cohen in with plays.
Oof, really?
Yeah, I really do. I think they're gonna use Cohen as a certain way. I think they're gonna use Carey as a backup to Howard if anything were to go down. Just mark that down. But that's just me up that downhill. I think Cohen is gonna be there. I just don't think he's going into a regular I think they're gonna use him a different way. I could be wrong. I mean, clearly the kid, you guys know how much I love him. He's a dynamo. I just think that's the John Fox way right now, and we'll see. I think they're going to have packages for Tariq Cohen specifically on the offensive side of the football come the opening day versus the Falcons. He's going to have his own package, and he's going to go out there and execute it, and they're going to try to use him creatively. That's what Atlanta's going to expect or going to have to be prepared for, because this kid is what Aldo said, is what I talked about after the draft here again on Bears Barroom.
Yeah, they've been lining him up in the slot.
Yeah, line him up in the slot. He's a punt returner. He really is a faster Dave Meggett to me. So versatile. So that kid's going to be electric. I think Kadeem playing the special teams had a tremendous open field tackle on a punt return or kick return last. You're seeing the kid's pride. He is exactly what you said, Aldo. He's someone that plays with his heart on his sleeve, and he gets nicked up, and hopefully this is his year that he won't get nicked up, but I don't think you could pass over that talent, effort, and the willingness to get back on the football field quickly and continue to play hard. That is a coach's, you know, secret passion, is to have players that want to play and love to play. And there's no doubt that Kadeem exudes that energy that we're looking for on the defensive side of the football. I think when you see Kadeem run or get in there, he has that fiery disposition that the offense clearly lacks, other than Kyle Long's exposition. What's the word? Jesus Christ.
Use some Italian. We'll just roll with it.
Non essere stronzo.
Kyle Long's exploits.
There you go.
In the huddle and practice. There you go. That was the word I was looking for.
I really think this running back position, with the way that the cutdowns are this year going, there's no 90 to 75, it's just 90 to 53. I'm not going to rule out that with us being number three in the waiver claim process, I'm not going to rule out that that's not someplace where Ryan Pace is looking to maybe pounce on a guy and make a move there. And you could see a guy. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. No, depending on if because Phil, I mean, yes, we love everybody loves Kadeem Carey, but he's as big of a question mark as anybody with his health. I mean, there's a legitimate shot we could head into week one with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen as the two healthy running backs on the roster. It wouldn't surprise me a bit unless they have a bunch of faith in Benny Cunningham holding down that third spot. I myself don't have that much confidence in him. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if Kadeem Carey is nicked up more that they look to bring a guy in.
I totally agree with that. Now, among the players that met with the media today, Tariq Cohen, do you say Tariq or Tariq?
I say Mr. Cohen.
El Señor Cohen.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. Big Daddy Cohen talked to the media at length and shared some interesting stories, beginning with how he felt after almost breaking that long touchdown. That was the play that kind of got him going. And then he kind of finishes up the segment that we're playing, talking about Cunningham, which I think is important to our conversation. We'll pick it up from there.
Definitely when I almost made that big play, I caught myself. And I was like, oh, that would have been crazy. Like, that would have been, like, amazing. My first game playing an NFL game, like, to make a big play on that level, that would have been amazing.
So
I
think
you
stepped on the sideline.
Yeah. Did you think you were in? No, I knew I was out, but I thought they didn't see it. I was trying to get by. That's why I tried to take off real quick, but I knew I was out.
I know you've talked in the past about keeping up with the pace of the NFL. How did you feel that you did as far as the pace of the game goes?
I felt good. You know, when you go into a game, you're always ready for that first piece of contact, you know, to get you adjusted. So after that, I felt like I really got into the swing of things, you know, and got adjusted to the speed of the defense.
Did going back to practice feel any different for you on Saturday and Sunday?
No. I will say it did. Like, it put, like, a bigger chip on my shoulder. Like, I've been in the game, and I've seen what I can do. I was almost there on a breakaway run. So next time in practice, I was like, yeah, I got to keep pushing, you know, to get better.
So what do you hope that you can do in this next game, this next preseason?
Stay in bounds on that next run.
Tariq, you and Benny both get to do running back and kickoff return together. What have you kind of learned from him? What's that rapport like?
Him being a vet, you know, and playing on multiple teams, he's just teaching me the ways of the NFL, you know, all the rule changes that's different from the college to the NFL level, and he's just been a great mentor so far.
I love that guy. I love that guy's attitude. I love his smarts. I love his spunk. And kudos to Cunningham, you know, teaching the kid, takes the kid under his wings, shows him the rules, probably giving him some pointers about, you know, what the defensive players are like. You know, to me, Cunningham gets extra consideration for making this roster if he becomes the mentor that maybe somebody like Kadeem isn't. And I don't know whether Kadeem Carey is or isn't, but certainly Cunningham, with his 5 years of NFL experience, Kadeem is four, so it's close. But, you know, I think Cunningham, and based on that performance where he was the leading rusher in that first exhibition game, I think he gets special consideration. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's a possibility, although you can never overstate a coach's comfort level with somebody who's willing to take the time out for a teammate. You see an emphasis on the locker room with John Fox. One of the good things, arguably, about the guy is that he's taken all the cancer out of the locker room. And fans should know who that is, and Brandon Marshall, etc., Martellus Bennett. You know, talent didn't trump the importance that they felt the locker room needed to have. And in this case, I think you could be right, you know, based on what the kid is in regards to his value to Ryan Pace and the coaching staff, Tariq Cohen, that is, having someone who's going to be a professional and teach him how to be a professional can never be overlooked. So if that kind of wording is being transpired to the coaches from Cohen, or they just overall see it, I mean, you can't act it. It's very obvious if you're acting it, but if it's there, then they might roll with somebody who they feel is maybe a little less talented or a little less explosive or whatever it is, that they would side with the guy that's willing to lend a helping hand to a younger player. That means a lot in a locker room.
I think we're going to kind of see over these next three games, you know, exactly what they think of a guy like Cunningham. But it is, you do make a great point there, Aldo, saying, you know, if he is in that, you know, mentor, that kind of that mentor that these young guys are looking to, maybe he is the guy, like I said, that sneaks through as that number three if a guy like Kadeem Carey does get nicked up. And, you know, let's be honest, a lot of it is going to be a numbers game to how, you know, are they going to keep a certain amount of defensive backs or linebackers to keep a fourth running back. That's not something that we can discount here, because nobody really knows exactly. We can, of course, we can all guess, but nobody really knows how this whole roster is going to shake out, especially when it's just going to be a whirlwind from that 90 to 53 cut down. And we've seen from the 75 to 53 cut down how active Ryan Pace has been every single year, bringing in guys, you know, fresh from another club that are on the active roster for week one. So it's really going to be a busy couple of weeks here for a Chicago Bears to see how this 53 is going to shake out at, you know, at every different position. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I want to also play a little bit. Trubisky was also met with the media today. It was really interesting press conference. He was asked all sorts of questions about, you know, about the being in the limelight, and he responded by saying, "What limelight? What are you guys talking about?" And, I mean, he total difference, 180 degrees difference from the guy I saw on the John Gruden show, where he looked a little bit intimidated by the lights, by Gruden, and didn't know what a hard count was. At today's press conference, this guy looked mature, confident, talked about all sorts of things. I got a couple of clips, but the first one is about Cohen. I wanted to share this because he was, like all of us, impressed with Cohen. Listen to what he's got to say here.
He's always been a beast. I'm glad we're on the same team. He's fearless, man, and I always said it's all about heart. You got a bunch of measurables, but it's all about heart, and that's what he goes out there and plays with. He's fearless running the ball, and he could take it the distance any given snap. So it's tough for me, because if I hand it off to him, I want to watch him run, but I got to carry out my fakes and stuff like that. But he's a good team at the head, and what I love about him is he always practices hard. No one's out working him. He's practicing hard, and he loves being out here playing this game.
Gotta love it. Gotta love that assessment of his teammate. It fires me up. I'm using Phil's catchphrase here. I'm fired up, man.
Who are we going to give credit to for that? Are we going to give it just to Mitchell Trubisky, or is this where we see the value in a veteran like a Mark Sanchez? You know, I don't think we can discount something like that.
Oh, man.
I know Sanchez takes a lot of grief, but you see, he was a guy with a limited amount of starts at USC that went to the bright lights, big city in New York as an extremely high draft pick, top five. And then you see him, you know, kind of get knocked down a peg. He goes to Philly, you know, another big media market. You saw what he did with Dak Prescott, you know, last year. And like Phil said, you don't know what is going on kind of behind the scenes with this guy. So I'm not going to discount that a guy like Mark Sanchez is doing a lot of work behind the scenes with our young signal caller in Trubisky. And, you know, maybe he deserves a lot of credit, because anybody that saw Mike Glennon the other night after the game knows that he wasn't too media savvy. I mean, he's talking about staying away from Twitter and not watching NFL Network, and you could clearly see the pressure building up on his shoulders, and you could see it, you know, really, really getting to him. But you see this young kid, Trubisky, just going out there and really owning it, you know, and just taking control of the room, and he's got that big bright smile, and nothing really seems too big for him. So I'm not going to discount Mark Sanchez in this whole thing about, you know, him working behind the scenes with him.
Hey, you know, it just popped into my mind when you mentioned Glennon's post-game news conference, is I wonder if Heath Evans, when he got this inside information from a Bears coach that the coaching staff was upset about having to pick Trubisky and John Fox wasn't told, maybe Heath got it wrong. Maybe what he was told is that the coaching staff was unhappy that they had to sign Glennon. maybe that's what that's well, all see, about. You know,
with Mr. Evans doubling down on his bullshit,
no shit.
Every time he has had something negative to say about Mitch Trubisky, he has propped up Mike Glennon's, you know, calling him a leader of men, and he's going to, you know, he's the voice in the locker room that everybody's going to be looking to, and you know. Everything worked out perfectly for Heath Evans to look like more of an asshole than he already is. So we'll see. We'll see Saturday night if Mitch makes Mr. Roidhead eat a little more crow. So
do they have the same agent? I wonder.
Yeah, no, that's worth looking
that's
into.
Worth, you know? Where's Lauren Cox when you need
Lauren?
Him? Where are you?
His girlfriend's back in town, so leave him alone.
No, it's a great thing, Heath. That whole fiasco is so ridiculous. I mean, and then to excuse it by based on who he's playing against, some of these guys aren't even going to be in the league next week.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff, really, you should know better. And you are a member of the media, jackass, as Peggy Kaczynski pointed out. You just gave up your sources, and now we have a mole. Can you play the 24? The soundtrack for me, the countdown.
Beep. Oh, yeah.
Beep. Because we got a mole at Hallis Hall, and they're giving inside information to Matt Miller, Heath Evans, and Aaron Lemming.
Yeah, if you think Keith Evans has a source in Hallis Hall, I got a bridge to sell you in Arizona.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying?
Thank you, Matt Miller.
Thank you, Matt. Aaron Lemming.
But Evans essentially, he came out after draft day and really called Mitch Trubisky a con man, saying that you can't believe anything that comes out of his mouth, and he... I had a little exchange that you guys know about privately with Mr. Evans, and he said that John Fox had no idea about the Mitch Trubisky selection, and nobody in the Chicago Bears war room did until about 2 minutes before the selection was made, and we saw how everything played out afterwards, guys, that we know that certainly was not the case. This wasn't George McCaskey walking into the war room and saying, guys, listen, we're taking Mitch Trubisky. Sorry, it's not going to be Jamal Adams or it's not going to be Solomon Thomas. I want my quarterback. Adam Schefter and all of these guys that do have legit sources have, you know, really proved that Heath Evans is a complete jackass.
Oh, my God. Stop fucking lying.
To throw spaghetti at the wall to try to see if it sticks now.
And it's really an NFL Network thing. You saw Michael Robinson and of the NFL Network say that, you know, it doesn't matter, this is one game. Yes, sure, it's one game, but Mitch Trubisky can only play against who's in front of him. That's not his problem. It's not going to – you can have good coverage, like Lauren says, on somebody, and if you throw the ball accurately, it's still an accurate pass. It doesn't matter if Richard Sherman is covering the guy or if Aldo's out there covering the guy. It's still an accurate pass. So it's these guys, I think it's, you know, they like to fire up the fan bases, which, you know, is understandable. They want these guys to tune in and to tweet them and to get pissed off and be engaged with them. But none of it matters, guys. We just got to see what happens Saturday night, and we want our young quarterback to go out there and stack another good game together, and then they can all go fuck themselves.
And I want to stay here because, honestly, to Shane's point, and this is very important that fans, especially our listeners here and Bears fans, understand that manipulation of truth continues to happen. You saw it with Cutler. It's well documented, whether you like him or not. I know the reality of that situation, how it played out. And it's going to happen with Trubisky, and it's already happening with Heath Evans and the NFL now, as Shane's talking about. But in my time of studying tape, and I can't express this, I tweeted out, I cannot think of one rookie QB that I've ever seen. And I've done this and studied it and love. I mean, my favorite time of preseason is the fourth quarter, so I could see young players and assess them. I know how to watch tape, and I'm not hyping this up. Mitchell Trubisky in that first game was the most accurate rookie QB I've ever seen. And that is the real truth. There's no bias coming from me. I was so excited because of the accuracy, Aldo. Forget the athleticism and all the other traits that floated to the top. And you, every Bears fan has a reason and a real reason to be excited because of this young man's play. And if that continues to rise, onto my other point, if Mike Glennon goes out there and pisses down his leg, there's no way this coaching staff can sell a lemon to the Bears fan base. It's just got to be open competition, and you get the best out of what you have. Mike Glennon is a nobody, guys. Let's be honest. I don't care. You want to? He had a bad game. We'll say
Jesus, that. Don't piss his wife off, Phil. She already went to Instagram and went crazy.
Did she?
You didn't see that?
No, I haven't seen it.
She got trashed at the Chicago Bears game, and I guess some fans were.
And Aldo doesn't have video or audio of this.
She ended up deleting the post on Instagram.
That's on you, Shane. That's on you, Shane. You got to be helping this show.
Didn't you send a picture to us, Shane?
I think I did privately, in a DM. I think I did send it.
Yeah, I'll put it up on the website.
Yeah, she said, I fucking love Glennon. You know, I fucking love the quarterback. She said it like three times in a row, and it sounded like maybe she was getting heckled by some fans. And then she said, you know, it's just one game. He's the best quarterback. And then, of course, the next day she said, you know, I had a little bit too much to drink. And
jeez. So yeah, the Glennon camp is crumbling already on and off the field. Listen, if he doesn't come to play, guys, and we're going to break it down here, let's just be honest. There's no way you can sell chicken shit and try to make me taste chicken salad here. What I saw was a scared, indecisive, unathletic quarterback out there. I've been down that road with Todd, or quote, Turd Collins, as some of my followers were talking about. I remember what that looks like.
Yeah, statue. It all went down for Glenn.
Happens again, Shane, though.
Shane.
Did we lose Shane?
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I hear that. The rookie number two overall draft pick doesn't have the pressure on him to go out there and ball. It's all the pressure to me is all on Glennon Saturday. He's the one that's got to go out there and prove that he's worthy of getting another shot to be the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears. Because, you know, at this point, yes, you want to see Mitch go out there and play well, but this is a bigger game to me for Mike Glennon to go out there and prove that he's worthy. Because if he goes out there and puts up a 0.0, play the soundbite from Animal House again, it's
zero.
This is going to be
0.0.
Mr. Blutarski. Yeah, if he does that again, it really should be the Mitchell Trubisky show, because it's gonna fire up the fan base. It's gonna really fire. I mean, come on, guys. These players aren't stupid. Yeah. They know. And granted, Mitchell Trubisky hasn't looked the same on the practice field that he was on the field, but he was my quarterback four, and I have no problem admitting that. And I still have questions, because the unknown is still a huge unknown. But his biggest flaw was not playing.
That was it.
We really don't know. You know, maybe he's a lot better than any of us are expecting. And
his I don't know.
Arrow is
I don't know
is pointing if that way.
Andy Benoit and Peter King didn't recognize athleticism.
Mr. Nimble.
Mr. Nimble. Jack be nimble, because Jack isn't quick. They don't know shit over there. Jack
well,
shit.
They proved they didn't watch 5 minutes of film.
You just literally took the words out of my mouth. Literally popping the tape. The first attribute that jumps out, this kid's a freaking great athlete. He's very mobile. I mean, wow, Aldo. We're talking national media just completely showcasing their hand, what's behind the curtain there. And I'm calling everyone out now. I'm tired of letting this Matt Miller stuff, Aaron Lang, all these guys that portray, you don't know football, okay? You might know some things, and I'm not saying you can't learn it, but when you say something as asinine as that, the Monday morning quarterback better switch their dates up to Thursday morning, because it's just clear that that was obnoxiously dumb. And let's face it, guys, this kid, if he comes in, and there's an error about a player when you recognize that the game isn't bigger than them. It's what they relish. They live for their competitor. And we haven't seen that at that quarterback position as easily as you saw this young man be confident out there and play to the game. Another good quote that I saw out there running out of there is that he did sit down with Dowell Loggins and go over the plays that he really liked and felt comfortable. That's smart coaching. Get those in the game plan. Then add more. Well, you felt good about this. Let's run this. I want to see you and assess you doing something maybe you're not comfortable with this week. So if he takes a little step back, that's fine. The reality is, if Mike Glennon, as Shane said, comes out there and pisses down his leg and it's too big for him, there's just no way you could continue to put John Fox's face up there talking about Mike Glennon's our guy. I think Ryan Pace mentioned on the Hogue and Adam Johns podcast that at the very end, you want to have competition at the most important position in all of professional sports. Yeah. And a little honesty, Coach Fox, will go a long way for Mike Glennon and the rest of the football team. Because as Shane, and I'm just piggybacking off it, the players know.
And let me interrupt you right there, because at today's press conference, Trubisky was asked about that. And he says, I'm not a rah-rah guy. I'm not the kind of guy that goes into the huddle and tries to fire up guys, because I think the players can see it in your eyes. I think that they saw in me that I was ready and I was fired up and ready to go. Then what really impressed me besides that, I mean, again, this guy had a really great press conference today, is his assessment of his play from that first week and what he needs to improve on. Listen here.
Taking the wrong drop a couple times. Getting the correct mic down so we have it blocked correctly. Just being more efficient. The game was actually pretty clean. It's more in practice.
Same thing.
We're just still installing a lot of new plays, so it's just repping those, getting comfortable with those until I'm calling it and then going out there and repping it like it's the back of my hand. So the new plays will keep coming, but what we had in the game I was more comfortable with, because those are plays that I've been gone over a couple times. So just got to keep repping everything with offense and continue to study to make sure I know it.
Those are the words of a man who has a plan for how to become an NFL quarterback and is out there executing that plan. I'm really excited about the possibility of this kid. I really am.
No, you know, it's you really love to hear these little things. You know, Aldo, just to go back to the Tariq Cohen interview, or to Trubisky talking about Tariq Cohen, saying that, you know, it's hard for him not to sit there and watch him because he has to continue with his fake to sell it. Phil probably knows where I'm going with this. You go back to a guy like Jay Cutler, and it used to drive me crazy watching Jay drop back. And Phil, you know exactly what I'm going to say here. he would never continue through with the complete you know, fake and try to completely sell it. Jay always got lazy with that, and it's all those little tiny nuances that are going to pay off. And you like to see this from a 22-year-old kid that is buying into to making these little things a priority. And I don't think that it can be overlooked. You know, guys, we've been Bears fans forever. We saw him come onto the field the other night for the two-minute warning, and you could just feel it watching it on TV. Nothing was said. You could just feel it. I compared it to Devin Hester circa 2006 and 2007, and when he's going back for a punt return. You know, they punt the ball, and you'd move up on the edge of your seat. You're like, oh, here we go. This is exactly what the Chicago Bears fan base
has been waiting
forever.
Great comp.
You have the young GM that, and no, I know the media likes to sell it that we mortgaged our future. We didn't mortgage our future, but yes, it was a bold move to go up and get this kid. They focused on him. They did all the undercover stuff. They said he is our guy. They made the move to go get him. And now you're really beginning to see the fruits of their labor. And you see Ryan Pace doing the right things in the quarterback, you know, bringing in the quarterback. You're seeing Mitch Trubisky doing all of the little things. You're seeing Dowell Loggins sitting down, like Phil said, and saying, all right, what are your favorite plays? All these little things are going to start to add up. And really, the day that Mitch Trubisky was drafted, I made the comment that it was a franchise-altering event. And yes, it can go downhill if he doesn't work out, but it can also go, you know, straight up to the promised land. And hey, we at Bears Barroom, we're all in this together, guys, and it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun to watch to see what happens, because we're not going out there watching Matt Barkley and Brian Hoyer. we get to watch the number two pick in the draft take us where we all want this team to go, and it's a really exciting time to be a Chicago Bears fan.
And let me say this, Aldo. What would have been?
Oh, hold on. Let me put her on hold.
put her on hold.
go ahead, Phil.
What would have been the alternative, not only for a national media festival, but the fan base and the rest of the division festival, if Mitchell Trubisky went into the two-minute warning and looked like Mike Lennon? That is why I say these games, whether they're playing soft vanilla coverages or not, are about timing, anticipation, knowing assignments, technique, all these things that are essential to the beginning of a football season and just to be a good football team. Confidence and the team and the great comparison that Shane came up with, it's perfect. I totally got the vibe that this kid was very confident that he was going to move the football down the field and score, and it ended up happening. And what you want is to assess players under pressure, in pressure situations, because that is the NFL. Any given Sunday, doesn't matter. And then you assess the most important position in the pressure of having to move the football down the field as a rookie, and he did. Then it's the other way than what the NFL Network's trying to sell. Oh, it's vanilla. Oh, these guys won't be in the league. I got news for you. A lot of those guys are going to be in the league. That wasn't the third stringers that are looking to get cut. They were second, one first stringer in there. Some second team players that are going to be starters. That kind of stuff is just, it's Passover bullshit. I hated that. And as a football player themselves, they should be ashamed of themselves for allowing themselves to even be talked into talking like that. You can't overlook it. If you're going to hype up the kid in Cleveland the way they were doing, then how about 20 times more accurate and efficient was Mitchell Trubisky than that kid? And I have nothing against Kaiser. I'm just calling it like it is. You got two wow plays that, you know, great for Sports Center, but I had about 12 solid plays and then a few wild plays coming from Mitchell Trubisky. So I just want to keep it there and realistic that this isn't a small thing of what was transpiring on that football field. And I know we talked about it after the game and had a great time, but, you know, the likes of Brian Urlacher and other former Bears were feeling the energy as well. I think we got to be attuned to that because some players aren't that great in practice. Steve Young was known to not be a very good practice player. And Kurt Warner had his moments in practice. Eli Manning, to this day, isn't a very good practice player. So that stuff doesn't matter. It's when the game is on, how do they perform? That's why we were getting me amped up beforehand about snaps and reps for these guys. You know, I thought it was hilarious that Mike Glennon didn't get all the reps that he did and Sanchez came in because he needs them. 11 passes since 2014. I mean, we don't even know what this guy is. And I'm not going to go down there again, but I'm really excited about Mitchell Trubisky. And I think our followers, our educated, truth-seeking fan base need to understand that they have every right to be excited and see what's going to happen this coming Saturday when the Bears take on the Cardinals.
Hey, one thing before we move off of Trubisky real quick that I would like to...
Hold on, this chick really wants to talk to you.
Hold on, honey. Put your hand.
She really wants to talk to you, man. You know, I got a feeling that she actually called for Jose. Listen to this.
And my mouth. You're so big. Yes, you are so...
She does sound Peruvian.
I think Mrs. Gandhi must be away this week.
2 weeks now.
You and Shane will be flying out together.
Yeah, right.
Every strip bar in the East Coast.
We might, they find out about this audio album. We might be getting an apartment together.
Abbott and Costello.
Nice. Yeah. Vegetarian burrito.
Oh, she is talking about
Jose. I'm sorry, Shane. Go ahead.
Scotty McLuhan, the former Redskins GM, has been firing off a lot of hot takes on Twitter lately, and he wasn't specifically talking about Mitchell Trubisky, but somebody had tweeted him, and he does seem to respond to pretty much everything that you send his way. They asked him, what is the most important things to look for when you're looking for your franchise quarterback? And he said, it's not close. There's two things. Number one, leadership, and number two, accuracy. It's not the big arm. It's not the mobility. It's, you know, it's not, you know, any number of things. It's leadership and it's accuracy. And just hearing those two things so far, I mean, it's that in itself should fire up Chicago Bears fans, because we're really not saying that he's the perfect leader yet. We don't know that he is, but to me, the ship is heading in the right direction, because you can't watch. I mean, I'm not Peter King watching tape, obviously, but you can't. It's when you watch Mitchell Trubisky on tape, it's like Phil said, it's clear his mobility is a huge asset, but even on his college tape, on his throws, and especially the other night versus Denver, the accuracy was glaring. I mean, it wasn't just, it was exactly where the ball needed to be for the wide receiver to catch. Like that pass to Victor Cruz that probably would have won the game. It hit him right in the back. I mean, Victor Cruz probably still be running. Unfortunately, the announcer said that it was, you know, behind him, and that's why Victor Cruz dropped it, but it hit him in the belly button. But I know Bears fans want to take a lot of this for granted, and all we get to talk about is 1985, and this is uncharted territory so far, and that's why it's so important that you know, Bears fans should, you know, fuck all the people that are saying temper your enthusiasm. Fuck that. Get behind the kid. Be happy. Support your we should be the same way with Mike Glennon, guys. We should want Mike Glennon to go out there and play well, because it's only going to help the team moving forward. I mean, you'll really want both of these guys to go out and play lights out. So root on both of them. If people are telling you to calm down, it's only the preseason, well, fuck you. I don't need to listen to you. Get excited about this kid. It's something that Chicago Bears fans deserve, like I said last time. It's something that we're not used to. It's uncharted territory, and I do. I'm here. We are talking about preseason game number two, and I'm excited like this is a playoff game coming up. I got to admit, I'm not.
Doesn't it seem like it's taking forever? Is it just me?
It does.
You know, we talked about privately that Dave Kaplan, I think Shane pointed out that Dave Kaplan on his Sports Talk Live show said turned down sex from his wife because he wanted to see Trubisky play. And that's how I am, too. It's like, you know, hey, sorry, everything else is second place. Got to take a look at this game and see this guy play.
Yeah. I was watching the Bears game the other night when Trubisky came in. Ela walked out of the bedroom and she's like, what are you getting so loud for? You know, it's late. Our son is sleeping and she was getting ready for bed. I'm like, well, Trubisky just completed his first pass. She's like, it's one pass. Who cares? What is wrong with you? And I'm like, no, babe, it doesn't work that way. You know, I've been waiting for this a long time.
This is love.
That's why I sent her to Europe. I thought I get to watch game number two by myself in peace.
The other thing about Trubisky, that one last point, and it is a hot topic, and it should be, is that, as Shane said, you know, he got excited about his first pass, and then you see on tape, and if you go on my timeline, I tweeted it out live, these plays, I had to go tape them because to capture it and break it down for the fan, because obviously Sam Rosen and Jim Miller weren't doing the best of job of pointing out just how accurate these passes were. And it wasn't just one, it was the next one, and the next one, and then the next one. It just kept happening, and there's a point when it happens consistently, then it is real. And that's what I think me and Shane are saying here. Even the pass that I thought was probably his best pass for me was an incompletion to Daniel Brown. I just, you know, that's going to happen in a football game.
The one in the end zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's sitting there getting smashed. He knows he's going to get hit in the hip or the side of the belly, going to be smashed. He still steps into the throw, but can't fully finish and kind of just completely puts it low and away so only Brown could catch it. And it wasn't a hard pass. Actually, my father, I was showing him because he was, you know, he's a Patriot fan and he's watching the Bears game and he's just blown away by Trubisky. And he's like, you guys got yourself a goddamn quarterback. That's exactly what he said. And I was showing him that play and he's like, the goddamn tight end. He's got to make that damn catch. And that's exactly it. You get your hands on the football, you make that catch, you become a part of Mitchell Trubisky's comfort zone, and his tight ends unfortunately didn't help him out. But that pass, Aldo, really doesn't go in the stat sheet, but it's just to show you. I think Lauren Cox, our colleague over there at, what's the name of that show, Aldo?
Shit, I gotta look it up.
Locked On Bears.
Locked On Bears. Sorry, Lauren.
Lauren Cox couldn't be here tonight, but Lauren Cox was actually charting, I think, several of the incompletions were dropped passes, as Shane alluded to, and with the Salsa Cruz and Daniel Brown that don't go on the stats here. It would even been more impressive as far as stats were concerned. There was a lot of drops. So I'm excited, and I agree 100% with Shane. I'm not against Mike Glennon. I'm just for the truth. If he goes out there and isn't up to the challenge, then you got the wrong guy, because you can't coddle a guy because you gave him a lot of money. You just have to run with the truth if winning is important to you. Because there's no theory, Aldo, last point, that sitting a rookie is more helpful to them. There's none. I have examples that rookies didn't sit and they're great, and I have examples that they did and they're great. So ultimately, the best man should play, the one that's going to give you the best chance to win. I think this offensive line is good enough, and I think that is a good thing for the young quarterback, that offensive line isn't, you know, the Houston Texans circuit David Carr when he came out. So let's see what this brings. I'm excited too. Saturday can't come soon enough for me either.
All right, fellas, we are an hour and 15 minutes into the show, and we still have an hour and 15 minutes worth of material to go through. I wanted to tackle some of these questions. We've got a couple of announcements to make. Can you guys stick for another 20 minutes or so?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's go to a question from DRD Law. He or she asks, any signs of a no-huddle or up-tempo offense this year? Frankly, I haven't seen any signs of it, but I wouldn't be shocked if the team maybe in week three shows us a taste of that. What do you guys think?
I think you saw it the other night, even though Trubisky was that was one of his errors.
The two-minute offense, right.
Yeah, you saw him going down, and he was going in the no huddle. Definitely think it's going to be a part of this team this year. I don't even have to question that. Based on the personnel and how their interior offensive line is set up, I think you're going to see a lot of no huddle DDR Law.
Dustin Reagan Padilla asked, what are the chances that Coach Fox tries to make Lennon look good on Saturday by just having him throw screens and short passes to intentionally delay the Trubisky train? And I kind of get what Dustin is getting at here. You know, first of all, you want to give Lennon as much confidence as possible. So you're going to do everything to kind of protect them. You're going to have a high percentage pass calls. And you're also going to want to maybe temper the Trubisky enthusiasm a little bit, perhaps. What do you guys think?
I think Dustin needs to keep his questions to himself as a Dolphins fan. Tweeting out that he's more excited to watch the Dolphins play this year than the Chicago Bears. Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
Turn that man card in there, Cutler lover.
I got to admit, I can't wait to see that first game, too.
It's going to be fun to see Cuddy cutting it up. But to answer his question, and Aldo, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I think it's going to be very apparent that, you know, I'm going to find out for Bears Barroom. This is going to be breaking. What kind of coach John Fox is. Does he really want to assess his talent? Because if that's the case, then no. You don't coddle, so to speak, Mike Glennon. You roll with your game plan and you assess him. Is he big enough? Does he have the balls? Does he have that energy that's going to lead this football team to ultimately meet your goal? The crazy thought out there is the narrative from a national stance that this team isn't that great. It sucks. They might win one game. That, to me, as we talked about last year, there's enough talent on this football team to win. And how that quarterback position is going to be played is going to help gain wins. So wouldn't it be privy to a head coach to get the best guy out there that's going to help you win? And if that's the case, let's see what Mike Glennon is. Let's not coddle. Now, I'm 100% with Aldo. First, you want to get his confidence up. You're going to throw a couple quick games, make it simple. But then he completes his little screen pass, whatever it is, a dump off to the tight end. Now we're going to assess you on a 6-7-step drop, and you're going to fire it to find the open man. That's all I want from you. Mm-hmm. As long as you find the open man, you're not predetermining where you're going, because then you can't play in this league. I don't care how nervous you are. You've been doing this since you're a kid. The best ones are what you saw in Trubisky. Like, he was just ready. So, yeah, I'm going to find out who John Fox is and Loggins, who they are as coaches, how they handle Mike Glennon come Saturday. That's going to be must-listen radio next week, because I am going to make sure that my scouting cap is on just to assess how they call their plays when Mike Glennon's in there. And if they tamper down the Trubisky because they don't want to hype it, then you really are handcuffing growth. So that, to me, would be dumb. But it does reek of what we've seen with this coaching staff before, Dustin.
All right. Jeremy Kramer, our good buddy, asked a question that I think we addressed last week in detail, is who on this loaded tight end group are we going to see in the final 53-man roster? I think we all agree that it's going to be Deion Sims, Adam Shaheen, and perhaps Zach Miller, correct? But with the possibility that Daniel Brown sneaks in there, particularly if a trade can be made for Zach Miller, or maybe we just bite the dust and drop him. And there's still some other interesting names on that tight end roster who are going to be facing a numbers problem. Go ahead, Phil.
I'm sorry. Actually, Shane and I had the disagreement, but I'm disappointed that Jer didn't listen to our last show and had to be caught up.
Jerry's a very busy Shane. Man. You ever seen how many beers that guy can hold in one hand?
It's like Tarik Cohen on punt return.
Right.
No, but me and Shane, I think four tight ends are going to make this team. Shane thinks I'm crazy, and he doesn't think Zach Miller is going to make this team. That's to catch you up. So, Shane, are you with me with four tight ends, or you know?
I don't think I essentially called you crazy. I think I might have called you a jackass or something. But not 100% positive. No, I think it's completely plausible to see four. Because to me, Daniel Brown is, you know, as much of a upside guy as a guy like Adam Shaheen is. We all love what we see in him. You would have liked to have seen him come up with that pass, like you're saying, that Trubisky made, that incomplete pass in the end zone. But no, I just hate to, if they do go three and keep Zach Miller, I think a guy like Daniel Brown is scooped up immediately. So that's, I think you're right, Phil. I think you could easily see four tight ends on this roster, and I think that's probably a benefit to the Chicago Bears' unproven quarterbacks at this point.
And before we move forward, Aldo, just because I don't want to forget this, I want to play a game later on in the preseason. The final 53, Gandia,
love it,
Marsaw, Aldo, Gandia, Marsaw, and Lauren Cox and myself,
mm-hmm,
winner. We got to have some prize out there.
We'll work
on
that.
It's going to be a battle for second place.
Because the smartest man in the room isn't leaving.
The smartest man in the room.
All right, I'm scrolling through some more of the questions here. I want to give out a shout out to where is she? Where is my lovely lady?
Honey Bear.
AC
at Lady Love LUVS.
How do you not love AC?
Oh, gotta love her. We teased out the show and what we were going to do, and then she wrote, "This sounds like a lot of fun." And then I looked at her little bio here, and it says, what is it? It says, "I love Jehovah, and given all the sex talk that we had on the show, she may never listen to us again." We hope you're still listening and that you're not playing this at church. Say that again, Shane.
You might be knocking on some doors tomorrow to repent after listening to us.
I hear you. Yep, indeed. All right, let me, I'm scrolling for some more questions here. Everybody is wondering who's going to be coaching the Chicago Bears next season. And Phil actually said,
let's get through this season first.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But I do like Phil's list. Where is it here, Phil?
You want me to break it down for you?
Quickly, please.
So you got Jimmy Harbaugh, number one.
Everybody's number one pick, right?
Well, It's been my number one pick, and I'm going to pat myself on the back, Shane. No, since I was on a message board site, I've been hounding the Bears to hire Jimmy Harbaugh for years before he even got to Stanford. He almost did get the job, and they gave it to Lovie Smith. Another missed coaching opportunity that people tend to forget. Jim Harbaugh is the number one guy. And I know we haven't got through this season. I was asked the question, Shane, so this is why I was just giving. I'm practicing just speaking from a peaceful place in the truth. And I'm going number two, Josh McDaniels, on a second try. You know, people make mistakes. They deserve a second chance. They'll have an understanding. And you have a young quarterback to groom with him. It would be excellent to see McDaniels and Mitchell Trubisky together.
Bill Belichick got a second chance.
Yes, he did. And we know how it turned out. Jim Bob Cooter.
So did John Fox.
Oh, this is John Fox's third.
Yes.
That third one was
a
killer.
We don't
want
to give him a third one. There's two. Jim Bob Cooter. I know Shane has talked about it here. He's done
I love
an excellent
Cooter.
Job with Matt Stafford down there in Detroit. I think he would be an excellent. I know the Bears, and credit to Coach Fox, was trying to snag him away from Detroit, but they blocked it. He was, you know, assessing him to be the offensive coordinator here before Gase. So that's a guy. And then I really love the head coach at Stanford. I think he runs pro style, has the kind of mentality that you look for in a head coach. Just a great assessor of talent, winning in an academic school to me. I know he took a shot at Shane's boys in the SEC and how they could bend the rules of academic, and they can't, but still are competitive. You know, there's some truth to that, to be perfectly honest.
David Shaw would take that job in a heartbeat if it was open.
I'm not saying he wouldn't, but I'm saying there is some limitation to what they can allow into their university based on talent versus academics. So for what he's been able to do in Stanford, and you know, obviously Harbaugh passed the torch to the guy. Excellent coach. I know Shane doesn't like my number five pick, but I'm a huge fan of Mike Riley, Nebraska's head coach now. He did coach in the NFL before with
Talk
the San
about
Diego Chargers.
The fan base.
I just really believe in Coach Riley, again, getting a second opportunity. And then probably one of the most underrated and one of the top offensive minds and coaches out there from the University of Washington, Chris Peterson. I think he would be a must interview. I think when I watch football, and you look at how people coach technique, and you watch that Washington football team, it's no coincidence that they've had a lot of higher draft picks and a lot of undrafted players getting signed to the NFL because of what they do there. So that was my six guys off the top of my head that I thought would be excellent additions to the interview here in Chicago if there is what we all had hoped there was, a transition to a new head coach.
Great list. Really, it is a great list. Although I'm with Shane on that Mike Riley character. I'm not sure he's a fit for us. All right. We have a couple more questions, but we'll try to get to them in the next show. What I want to do now is let our audience know that the latest on Jose Cotto. We know that he hasn't been with us for the last few shows, and we've decided to kind of part ways. We hope to still have some involvement with him in the bar room. We're still talking about that, but we all here love Jose. We miss him every time he's not here. But because of his schedule, it was a mutual decision, mostly on his part, that you know he was doing us a disservice by not appearing, and we appreciate that from him. There's no animosity whatsoever. We love Jose, and whenever he wants to come back and be a guest on the show, the barroom door is always open. All right, and then we have one other announcement. And with that, I will play this. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special announcement, and that's the new Bears Hour Live, starring Phil Atoshin and Aldo Gandia. We're going to be coming at you every Monday night during the Bears regular season, and we're going to be live. That means you guys are going to be calling in, interacting with us, busting balls with us, talking football with us, just having tons of fun. And Shane Marshall is also going to be involved. He's going to be as often as possible on the show. We love Shane's input. We love his dick jokes. And and we just
better than loving my dick.
As we talked about on last week's show, Lauren Cox's schedule is just at its maximum and overflowing. So Phil asked me to see if I could take over the show, and I gladly said yes. I'm really looking forward to working with Phil on this show. The whole live format should be really interesting. You guys interact with us on Twitter all the time with your questions. We're going to get an opportunity now to actually talk to you one-on-one. Phil and I made the decision to move the show to Monday night because we would then have the benefit of the Sunday post-game interviews with coaches and players, plus the Monday interviews, so we can utilize that to provide analysis for you, roll in some of those clips. And also, you'll be watching Monday Night Football, and who the hell wants to listen to whoever's calling those games nowadays? You want to listen to us, and you want to listen to yourself calling in and asking questions and busting balls and stuff. So I'm really excited about that. Bears Hour Live with Phil and Aldo. What do you say, Phil?
I'm excited, Aldo. I think, you know, as someone who loves this game and loves this team, I think it's a great move to Monday nights, 9 Central. Get the fan base fired up. You know, hopefully there's great stuff to talk about, and we'll get all the injuries, all the updates, all the assessment. And what better way than to have me and Aldo bring you guys on to talk with us, break it down, and analyze what way and which way this team is going. It's going to be exciting. Bears Hour Live with Gandia and Atoshin. Bears Hour Live to go. We are going to be ready to go. I'm excited, Aldo, to do this with you. I think Monday nights are going to be raw. On the air live, and having Shane Marsall joining us when he's available. You know, Isla's on a baby schedule.
Isla.
Ela, sorry. Ela. You never know. She could be in Europe. She could be home with Shane. Shane could be distracted. But when he's there, the
hopefully
smartest
she's not
man in the room.
Listening to the audio that Aldo was playing as well.
The smartest man in the room. We need a commercial like Dos Equis.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
We need
idea.
It for Shane
that's
Marshall. Post production. A post production.
I'm working on that tomorrow morning. I love it.
But Bears Hour Live is going to be live and fun, Aldo. I'm excited. I appreciate you taking the helm. I love Lauren Cox. Much like you said about Jose, Lauren's took on another show, and he's PFF, and he's college, and I can wish nothing but the best. He will be doing some stuff with me, and we're good. There's no animosity whatsoever. I'm just excited about the new format, and we're going to be putting out some commercials, and we're going to be doing a lot of creative stuff to involve all of you guys, our loyal listeners and followers. So you all should be excited. You're finally going to get a chance to talk to Gandia.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous right now, given that I've got to fill in Lauren's shoes. The kid knows so much about fucking football. I went to camp with him a week ago or so. We only got to see 20 minutes of them doing walkthroughs, and he's in there saying inside zone, outside zone, this and this. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? He knows his football. You know, he's had some good coaching along the line from Draft Dr. Phil and some others, I'm sure. All right, we are well over time. 1 hour and 35 minutes is what is on the counter. I think
it's
time to say goodbye, fellas. What do you think?
Ciao.
Everybody's already asleep. Shane, any parting words?
Bob Stoops.
Hey, fuck all the haters. Everybody get excited about this quarterback.
Trubisky.
That's right. Everybody should be cheering for him. Get excited. Get excited for Glennon too. Hopefully he goes out there and plays better. Like I said, it's only gonna improve the Chicago Bears if both of them play well. So who cares that it's preseason? That's what we've been waiting a long time for this, and let's have some fun with it.
Absolutely. Heath Evans, you're welcome to come on with us anytime. We'll assess with you.
Why you're wrong? Yeah, I'll tell you.
he better fucking wear a jock protector because we're going to kick him in the balls. All right, fellas. Listen, one other thing before I go, another announcement I forgot. I wanted to welcome Kieran Hall to Bears Bar Room. He's writing articles for us on Thursday morning. You're going to see some of his thoughts. We're calling them Karen's comments. His thoughts on the first preseason game. And throughout the season, he's going to contribute with some of his thoughts. Kieran is a very knowledgeable football fan. The kid lives out in Dublin, Ireland, and he's a Chicago Bears fan. Is this not America's team? Is this the world's team? Yes, it is. And Kieran lived in Chicago with his family, but he's out in Dublin right now. He's expected back to Chicago sometime during the season. We hope to have him here on the podcast with us, and just look for his work. I think you'll enjoy it, and look for him on Twitter too.
Top of the morning,
yeah.
Karen.
Have that lady call back, Aldo. Then my dick will be Dublin.
Kieran is at Power Sports Hall, and that's sports with a Z. Power Sports Hall. Hall is his last name.
None.
Can I put my finger in your ass? Oh.
That's Blue Iris from the Howard Stern Show. She wants to know, Shane, if she can put her finger in your ass. Shane says yes, Blue Iris, wherever you are, somewhere up in heaven. She passed away, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Oh, man, another Whack Packer gone.
Stern Show rules.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Bears fans, remember, if you drink, please don't drive, and always bear down.
I can't wait. Yeah, I want you now. I want you now. So good. Oh, you're so good. You're so good. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, baby. You are the most delicious, most filling. Yeah, you fill me up. Amazing burrito that I've ever eaten. Oh, you just have everything. Rice, guacamole, lettuce, tomatoes.